Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Glad you're with us this morning, a few minutes after 8 on your Tuesday morning. And I'm taking a look up here at the screen, and they are standing by for a news conference of some sort from President Trump, who, of course, arrived in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, about 4 hours ago, maybe a little longer than that, and has been nonstop since he got there. Major meetings taking place already with political and business leaders there in Saudi Arabia. He took with him, I think I read where Zuckerberg might be there. Elon Musk is there. There's a lot. It's more like a business summit than really some sort of a political meeting. I heard Peter Doocy describe it that way earlier. So if the president makes any remarks, that's a must listen to. We will break into whatever we're doing here, and we'll let you listen in on that. I'm sure one thing he's going to be talking about is Iran, because he's sort of in the region, and they're talking about getting some sort of a deal done there to prevent them from having a nuclear weapon that past administrations have failed miserably on that. So we'll get an update for you on that if he speaks about that here shortly. Coming up, we're hoping to talk to Chad Pergram from Fox News. He's covering the fallout from these crazy Democrat congresspeople who are trying to storm an ICE detention facility outside of Newark, New Jersey. What are they thinking about? I don't know. They're clearly grandstanding, just like Chris Murphy flying down to El Salvador and standing outside the prison there and having margaritas with an El Salvador man. This, you know, it's what they're doing. AOC's now gotten in on the fun, and we're going to talk to Chad Pergram about that coming up. Some of them may be arrested. I don't know if they're going to press charges or not. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. Ryan Wiggins at the bottom of the hour as well for Wiggins America. But first, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
A very specific example, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense for someone who doesn't know this world. So a drug that's out there that a lot of Americans are on, it's called Humira. Humira is a very expensive drug. And so when you see this, pick up the pharmacy, if you're taking that drug, you know it's expensive. It probably costs you $6,900 to $8,000 a month for an employer to purchase that drug. I can buy that drug for $1,000 in Israel.
All right. That's an example of drug price differences between the U.S. and certain other countries. Donald Trump is planning to level that playing field. Will it work?
Well, I think what we saw is the cracks that you are now seeing today were highlighted actually over the last 4 years. We were seeing more and more of it. And the president has said this a number of times. He had a plan, because he knew what was going on, to actually fix it.
Sean Duffy there, the transportation secretary, promising to fix these problems at Newark Airport and other air traffic issues around the country. He said we need money and new technology.
I feel like I've been spending most of my life trying to get to America, to be very honest. You know, so it's weird to join. It's like you're joining this evil empire, but that's not what you joined it for. Right. It just so happened the evil empire had some really nice TV shows.
Ronnie Cheng, a brand new U.S. citizen, just got his U.S. citizenship, and he describes the United States as an evil empire. Guess what, pal? I'll escort you back to your place.
Two of our specialized units that actively engage in finding stolen cars and dealing with these slideshow type behavior, and they were following these cars from parking lot to parking lot and spiking when we can strategically and safely do so.
Yeah, that's the spokesperson for the St. Louis Metropolitan PD, and it was embarrassing. If you haven't seen the video that's kind of gone viral of these cars doing donuts in on street corners down there in Holly Hills. And Kim, you're telling me several other area subdivisions as well, right? Several other areas.
I believe it was six total areas in the city, because what police are saying is once they go and break up the crowd, they would just migrate somewhere else and start up again. But it's crazy that no one's in custody.
Yeah, it is. And the question you have to ask is why? Well, my guess is it's a staffing issue. Like, if you call 911 in the city, supposedly they fix that problem, but you still have to find the personnel to respond. And they had another incident going on, and all of the officers were committed to that except one, who followed this little group around until a few more officers could get freed up, and then they went and laid down spike strips. Well, I think if you're a city resident, particularly if you lived near one of those street corners, you would feel fairly underserved by your department today. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a manpower issue, there's only so much they can do about that. This is what Jane Duker had to say about it yesterday afternoon on Mark Reardon's show. Listen.
And did Mitch McCoy tell the press today how many cops were actually on patrol last night?
I don't think so.
No, because they keep that under lock and key.
Yeah.
They don't tell you, oh, we have a specialized unit. Well, that's a problem, because specialized units, I mean, really? We need boots on the ground.
Thank you.
That, you know, Will on Facebook, by the way, is making the point that I actually made earlier. He's saying it's Kara Spencer, of course, the new mayor. It's her snowstorm moment. I don't think this is quite as big as that, but I still agree. That was, again, what I was saying, is that this is really one of the first opportunities that Kara Spencer has now that this video has gone viral and people are upset about it. How is she going to address it? She needs to get out in front of it. She needs to make some sort of a statement today. And I hope her team has been working on action steps to address this.
Yeah.
She's talked the talk of saying, oh, we want to hire more police officers and all these things. Now you need to walk the walk.
Very true. We definitely need more people. And I'm sure they didn't have enough officers to respond to this. But it's something Spencer's going to have to wrap her arms around before the state takes control. They don't have control yet. They have not put the police board's not been put together yet. And in the meantime, this is all on her and the chief. So hopefully we get some answers on that. All right. I'm just monitoring what's going on over in Saudi Arabia. The president and the Saudi crown prince just signed some sort of an agreement. I don't think it was ownership of a new airplane. That's coming from Qatar. So that obviously is not what it was. He was not taking the title of the new airplane. But they're talking business. It looks like the president is planning some comments. I don't know if it's going to be a formal news conference or not. If it happens, we'll cut in and let you listen to a little bit of it. We're going to get to a break, so we're hoping to get to our friend Chad Pergram from Fox about the clash outside that ICE detention center in New Jersey. It's all coming up.
Mark Cox. Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
We have no idea what they have in mind other than to create an environment of intimidation just by claiming that perhaps we might be subject to arrest. But there's no reason for it. Nothing happened other than the chaos that they created themselves.
That is a New York congresswoman who was one of the ones, along with some New Jersey folks, trying to force their way into an ICE facility. And ICE said all you had to do was call and schedule it. But seemed sort of like they were trying to get some media attention. And that certainly happened. What is the fallout from it? We're lucky enough to have Chad Pergram with us from Fox News this morning. Chad, thanks for giving me a minute.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What's the House Speaker had to say about what's going on with this New Jersey situation in the ICE facility?
Well, we asked House Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday about this, and he says it was something that they would look into and try to see if there's a, quote, appropriate response. What would happen here on Capitol Hill is unclear. I talked to a couple of sources who might have some say about this, who said they want to see, first of all, if the Department of Justice might prosecute some of the members there, in particular LaMonica McIver, who is the Democratic representative from New Jersey, who there was an accusation that she shoved or even body slammed, that's the term that was used, a federal agent McIver denies that, says, look at the videotape. That's not what happened. I should say that it's very hard to prosecute members of Congress unless they do something that's totally egregious. Like, there's something called the speech or debate clause in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 6, which says in the conduct of your congressional duties, you can't be arrested. In other words, the founders were very concerned that people who had different views than other people, or maybe they would be a key vote, they would go and intercept them and conduct mischief in that sense. So if you're, you know, going through congressional oversight, and if you look at a 2024 statute, it's pretty clear that they can just show up at these facilities unannounced and request a, you know, a tour or to go through or do whatever they need to do. That's very clear. But could there be action here by the Department of Justice? As I say, if you have in fact committed a crime, a bona fide crime, you did assault somebody, you shot somebody, you were driving drunk, these things have nothing to do with Congress, they can arrest you. But I've been told that they want to see what the DOJ does first, and then they might try to take action here, whether or not there would be a congressional investigation. They could refer them to the Ethics Committee, or maybe they'd try to sanction them on the floor, maybe with a reprimand or censure or something of that nature.
Yeah, I've watched the video of her in the red suit. She kind of stood out from the crowd. If I was watching a hockey game, I might have described it as sort of a hip check. I don't think she hurt the guy, but there's no doubt she bodied him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's the determination they have to make. Yeah. And again, does the DOJ, based on, you know, what I've told you about the Constitution, really want to go down that road? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic representative from New York, had said if ICE or the border czar Tom Homan or Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary, if they, you know, start laying a hand, her words here, and Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, said as much Friday night, on members of Congress, they're going to have, her word, a problem.
Yeah, I see that. And this is not probably unlike what we saw outside of some of those ICE detention facilities along the border when during Donald Trump's first term. That's when AOC kind of made her name down there by crying outside of the gate, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, she was a freshman in 2018, and so that's something that they were looking at closely. And so whether or not, she has obviously, she's outspoken, she's a progressive. The problem for the Democrats is, this the person that they really want out front for them that's making the attention, or dying on this hill dealing with, you know, persons who are being detained by ICE and even at a facility that holds people from MS-13, allegedly.
That's what's so odd to me, is it seems like for many of these Congress members, this is the hill they want to die on. I heard an interview that Katie Couric was actually doing with Adam Kinzinger, and he was like, oh, yeah, I had no idea that it was illegal. If the feds come knocking on your door asking if you're housing and illegal, if the person's actually there, I didn't know it was illegal to say, you know, oh, no one's here.
Yeah, and that's going to be the issue for the Democrats. You know, they're trying to reach moderates and independents. This probably plays very well with the progressives, who are very upset that the Democrats weren't fighting enough. So it probably works, you know, to shore up your base in that sense, if there's a political calculus behind this. But on the other score, if you're trying to court people in rural Missouri, you know, there used to be members of Congress who were Democrats in other parts of the state besides St. Louis and Kansas City. That doesn't really exist now, or other places in the Midwest. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Chad, on a separate issue real quick, I saw where they've done a markup. Is that correct on the big, beautiful bill?
They're doing that in two committees today, the Energy and Commerce Committee, which will be asked to cut $880 billion, which some of that gets into entitlements, in particular Medicaid, and then also the Ways and Means Committee that deals with tax policy. That's going to be the big issue here today on Capitol Hill, besides the issue that I've been dealing with here. So yeah. I'm probably going to have to jump here in just a minute, unfortunately.
I'll let you go then. Chad Pergam, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
you. Yeah, he always accommodates us. He called us ahead of time and warned us that he might get into the interview late. And then he got into the interview early, and then he had to leave early. So Big Fox needed him to go do a hit, which is kind of who pays his salary. So I understand that.
You weren't sending him a check from
your
personal bank account?
No. Maybe I'll buy him a jet or something. You know,
yeah, to try to compete with the $400 million jet.
Get this breaking news that just happened, and we can talk more about this once we get Wiggins in here in a minute. Exclusive story in Axios right now. Quoting Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, the book on Joe Biden that's just come out called Original Sin. Here's the headline. Exclusive. Biden aides discussed wheelchair use if he were reelected, new book says.
Oh, my gosh.
So they already knew inside what a physical and mental wreck this guy was. His physical deterioration was so severe in 23 and 24, advisors privately discussed the possibility that he would need a wheelchair if he won re-election. This is according to the Jake Tapper, Alex Thompson book that is now out. It comes out on May 20th. So they're starting to release bits and pieces of it to ramp up people's desire to read it, I guess. Wow. They didn't want him to use it during his re-election campaign, but they saw it coming. There you have it. All right, coming up, we'll get to Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America. Stay tuned.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Knowing what you know now, do you think you would have beat him?
Yeah, he's still got 7 million fewer votes. Number two, they're very close in those toss-up states. It was it wasn't a slam dunk.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Ryan Wiggins in studio with us right now. I am looking at this Axios story, Ryan, that I read right at the bottom of the hour before you came in. Biden aides discussed wheelchair use if he were reelected, new book says. This is according to the book Original Sin, where Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson finally come to the conclusion 4 years later that there was something wrong with Joe Biden.
Man, I saw Jake Tapper this morning doing a talk to camera like he was walking through the hallways like he was in the back of Saturday Night Live or something. I don't know what he was doing, but he looked like he was trying to really level with you.
Oh, is that right? Just be trying to be as real as I can.
Yeah, and you know, God bless him for putting out this book. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known that this was an issue going into this, and we really dodged a bullet there.
We did. I was reading on through this article, and obviously it's not the whole book, but there are excerpts from it, where they said that aides believed it was politically untenable to have Biden use a wheelchair during the reelection campaign, but given his age, his physician, Kevin O'Connor, also privately said that if he had another bad fall, a wheelchair was going to be necessary for what could be a very difficult recovery.
Well, that rules out a lot of things, like walking up the steps to go to Air Force One because he repeatedly fell.
They tried to figure out shorter walking paths, began insisting on handrails for steps up to the stage at his appearances. They had him wear sneakers. They changed his visual briefings before events to ensure he knew every step he was expected to take, and they guided him more carefully through those movements.
Why don't they just put the stickers on the ground and tell him that this is his marker? And by the way, when you say sneakers, it just sounds old versus tennis shoes.
Right.
They had him wear sneakers more often, it says.
Well, he was running the country. The thing is that we know for sure that he was sharp mentally. This is all physical stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, to think that, joking aside, to think that the priorities of the people around him were making sure that he had a shorter walk. This guy was so out of it. That stuff he was signing, I mean, that's the story we've talked about the last couple months, about him meeting with the House Speaker, Mike Johnson.
Right.
And having no clue what he had signed. That's one of the only indications we have, because they protected him so much that it took the Speaker of the House, and even he said, it took me like 8 weeks to get a meeting with the guy because they would not let me talk to him. But I pressed and pressed and pressed and finally had that meeting, and that's what came out of it, is that he didn't know what he was signing.
Nobody's surprised by that. You know? I mean, I don't know how the whole auto pin thing. I was talking to my neighbor about that yesterday. I would love to see that investigation go somewhere. I don't think that it will. But if he was in Hawaii when some of these major pardons and everything were signed with an auto pin back in D.C., what are the odds Joe Biden was even aware that was going on? I don't know how you prove that, but it ought to be illegal for him to not be there. Now, if you're sitting in the Oval Office and you've got 150 papers you have to sign, and you're sitting there, I could see you allowing the auto pen to be used so you're not wearing your hand out 150 times. Mm-hmm. But to just use it to sign regular executive orders that you've supposedly signed off on, I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't either. That raises a lot of questions because we know past presidents the have pardons? Used the auto pen.
Right.
But in a much different way.
Ronald Reagan used one. I know that for sure. I've got his autograph at home on a letter to my father that's real. It's not the auto. I know it's not the auto pen, but they did use an auto pen for some things, particularly correspondence and things like that. They often used one.
Dear Mom, use the auto pen.
Yeah, thank you. Just for the signature.
Yeah, and also you got to write her a letter. You can't call her.
Can we auto pen the whole letter, please?
Dear Mom, happy Mother's Day. Sorry,
I love
I
you.
Be there.
Yeah. We're keeping an eye. The president may speak here shortly, but if it happens before the top of the hour, we'll try to bring some of that to you. He's in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia today. I don't know. I thought maybe earlier he was signing papers on the new plane, but that clearly wasn't the case, Ryan.
Yeah.
It's coming from Qatar.
The plane thing is an interesting story. I don't know that this is going to – I don't know how this ends because there are criticisms that, well, you can't just take a plane and make it your own because he's going to keep it at the end. I think that's the criticism. But at the same time, if his argument, I heard it, I'm like, well, that's a pretty good argument too. How about if we get a free plane instead of $1 billion that we're spending of taxpayer money? You kind of got me there. I don't know how I disagree with that.
Well, and I think you guys might have pointed this out on Annie's show yesterday. If we did the flip test and this was Kamala Harris or maybe Joe Biden is a better example, getting a free plane from China, we would have questions.
Yeah.
So I could see people having questions. The fact that it's a very public gift and it's being signed over to the Department of Defense, I'm not quite sure how you can suggest that it's being given to curry favor. I think that's what they're getting at here. Not that Trump's going to take it and then resell it and bank $400 million, but that they're somehow trying to curry favor with him, and we better watch out because they might have bugged it.
Maybe they are trying to earn favor.
Well, I don't know what they'd be trying to earn favor for. We already have a military base and all that stuff.
So that if something if something comes up, then it's like, oh, hey, remember that $400 million jet that we gave you? And you don't have to say it. It's just unspoken.
You think that would matter to Trump?
I don't think it would, but it's the optics of it that people are raising questions about.
Ryan, look at the picture they've chosen for you here.
Why did they do that?
The moose costume.
Drew did that. That was years ago. Look, I was trying to break back into radio.
I love that.
I would just do whatever back then. Now I got a lot more integrity.
Was that back on the Glover show?
That was right when I joined the Annie Fry show.
Oh, you're wearing
it. They're like, hey, you're here. Why don't you dress up in this moose outfit?
You look like a furry.
I know.
Here's the thing. The liberals would be totally fine. Let's just say that Trump came out and said, you know, the money we're going to save from not buying a jet, we're going to reallocate that money and we're going to spend it, no, for the furries, or we're going to study transgender kangaroos in Australia. They would be all about that.
Isn't it amazing how people have fought some of those things?
Kangaroos are the issues?
No, not kangaroos and furries. That seems to be fine. But the spending on this crazy stuff, it's like they just hate it because Trump did it.
Yes.
I was looking at the drug price EO yesterday, and I tried to pull it back up this morning because I thought, oh, that'd be a great thing to bring to the show. I couldn't find it again because, you know, you search one thing one day, and then 10 minutes later, it's going to be different, gone. Especially with news. But there was an article that came up from the New York Times from right before the election about how drug prices have to be addressed by the next president. And then right under it was another article from yesterday saying this president is going to destroy Big Pharma. And like, it's a big problem. it was the same publication.
I'm waiting to see what people like Bernie. I think Bernie Sanders suggested if the president's serious about this, I'll help him. But beyond that, what about the other liberals? Where's Elizabeth Warren and all these people that have been screaming about high drug prices for all these years? Well, they also take contributions from the drug companies.
Yes.
All those politicians do.
But don't you think conservatives, too. I was going to say, I think it's everybody across the aisle.
Yes.
The question is, how feasible is this to actually happen?
Right.
Because Biden talked about wanting to do this. I mean, what president really hasn't talked about wanting to get drug prices down? There's a reason why they haven't been able to do it. It has to be those lobbyists who are just shoveling money into whoever will take it. They're just offering it up in hope that that will squash any efforts to try to do this.
Right. You need somebody like Trump who's impervious to the pressure of those lobbyists. He didn't need them to get elected. He didn't take, I don't think he took any money from them that I know of. I mean, I guess it's not out of the question, but he doesn't need their money. He's the perfect storm that the establishment dreaded. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, and that's why you tie all this stuff together with even the plane and all that. You just can't buy the guy.
No. So if it's that simple, just by signing an executive order to slash the prices versus having to go through Congress, why didn't other presidents do this?
I don't think it'll be that easy. I think they might have to get something through Congress.
That's
how could Democrats, other than just wanting to deny Trump a victory, they've been griping about this for years.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's going to do something they've all given a lot of lip service to. Are they really going to buck him on it?
This is the populist left stuff right here.
Yeah.
He's doing it. But a lot of this stuff, like you said, it has to work through the process.
It's gonna.
And when he signs these executive orders, it's like a warning shot. It may not do everything, but he's firing the shot going, you better get in line.
Yeah.
Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America.
Saturday morning, 7 to 8. And then Sunday evenings, 7 to 8.
And every day on the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah.
Noon to 3. All right, Ryan, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, quick break. We're keeping an eye on the president to see if he's going to speak. If he does, we'll get to that before the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM. Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have our friends Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw in here from the Retirement Advisory Group. We've got another event coming up on the 20th of this month. And gentlemen, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Mark.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Boy, the timing couldn't be better, Thomas.
Yes.
Honestly, we've seen the market go down in early April with the whole Liberation Day, and it went
yesterday,
back up. Yesterday was huge, but you know, if you're a year or two from retirement, you may worry that you won't recover from something like that.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we're going to be educating you about next Tuesday. I mean, the market is still going to be volatile with the tariffs and everything going on. We're still going to be seeing the ups and downs. We're going to educate you on a lot of things, most importantly on how to save money on fees, how to never lose a penny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even through all the volatility. But one of the most important things we want to bring up and talk about, and we mentioned this many times in our recordings throughout the weeks and so on, I'm going to show you a way to lock in your gains every year without having to sell. And that's important because right now, usually in your IRAs, 401ks, you want to lock in the gain, you got to sell to get out of that.
That's true.
We're going to show you how to automatically lock in your gains every year. So even with the volatility, you'll never lose that. And you don't have to sell. Still keep your money going. And that's what linking to the market does. So folks, next Tuesday, don't forget, go to your phones, 314-993-9494. Or go online at retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com. Sign up for this event.
It's filling up fast.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I tell everybody it's free. Bring a spouse. We'll kind of hang out. Annie and Mark will be there. Reardon, that is. And we'll just send this Mark. And we have a good time. It's always fun.
Yes.
It's a room full of 97.1 listeners who are going to want to talk about, you know, Donald Trump and his drug plans and all that stuff. And
exactly.
It's good.
Exactly. But it's educational. Folks, we'll only be there an hour. We starts at 6:30. We do a little trivia for the first 10, 15 minutes. We start at about 6:45 and we're done by 7:30.
Do you get a lot of questions, especially now? Because you're saying, obviously, there is volatility, but there's a way where you're not having to be nervous in light of that.
Exactly. Our clients, you're not nervous.
You know, and that's exactly it. It's peace of mind. As you get near retirement, that's when you're looking at your 401ks, your IRAs, your 403bs, and you're watching it going up and down, and you're going, wait a minute, it's all about when you retire. What if your retirement's coming up and you happen to retire in a in a bear market. That's not good. Though that's why we show you linking to the market. Once again, it's safe. You will never lose a penny of your principal. We are proud to say in 39 years, we've never had a client lose a penny of their principal.
Yep, and you won't lose any of yours either.
And if you're 59 and a half, then you can roll your 401k over to an IRA,
yes,
right?
Take advantage. It's free. It's called an in-service rollover to an IRA. It's free. There's no fees in doing it. And get your money protected. And you can still keep participating in your company's 401k, absolutely, even after you do the rollover.
And there's a lot of people out there that may not be 59 and a half, but they have an old 401k from a previous company. You can do that also.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good point. All right, we're looking forward to it next Tuesday, the 20th, out at the Frontenac Hilton at 6:30, 314-993-9494. Call that number and you can just reserve a seat. It's free. Bring a friend, bring a spouse, and we'll just hang out and have a good time.
And go to retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com.
All right, Thomas, Bob,
thanks for having us, Mark.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
You bet.
See you all there next Tuesday.
We'll be there. We're looking forward to it. All right, I mentioned the president may be speaking here shortly. If that happens, I'm sure the Brian Kilmeade Show will be giving you full coverage of his trip to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where he landed a little earlier this morning. Brian's coming up in just a couple of minutes. And, of course, Annie Fry will be in here at noon. And Mark Reardon from 3 to 6. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.